that we would have multiples on. This is going to be a lesson on Joseph. We're going to be in the 39th chapter of Genesis, and we're going to look today and see what we can learn from the life of Joseph. I'm trusting that many of you know a little bit of background about Joseph. He had a lot of brothers, and his brothers weren't too kind to him because they thought that he was the favorite son of their father. Let me just say to you, as far as we know, he was, along with Benjamin. And there were, I'm not saying that you ought to do that when you have a plethora of kids, but in this case, he was. He was the favorite son of his father. And because of the hatred and animosity of Joseph's brothers, if you remember what they did, they devised a scheme when he came out, because he wasn't old enough to be out there with them and with the herd. His father sent him out there to take them provisions. And they had already devised a plan that they were going to do him in. And they kidnapped him. Remember, he was the one that had that coat of many colors. That's what parents do, is show favoritism. And it's ever before his brothers. And he was taken and he was sold to some merchants. But what they did is they took his clothes and dipped it in blood and took it back to their father and told the father that the bears ate him or somebody ate him. You know, they concocted some story. And so this is the one about Joseph. And so he has now been pulled apart from his family. He's been taken away. The brothers go back to the dad and they falsely mourn with their dad about the demise of their brother Joseph. And but there was so much hatred and animosity of his brothers that he was, when he was sold into slavery and taken to the land of Egypt, to be in a foreign land, an introduction, to be in a foreign land and sold into slavery is a very dreary prospect for a 17-year-old boy. Away from his family, Joseph seemed to be more or less, you're going to see, kind of a hard luck boy. What happened to him, even in the land of Egypt, as we get in here, just as things would begin to move smoothly for him, things got worse. And of course, it always happened for a purpose, even though that was difficult for Joseph to see. There's probably no person in the Old Testament whose life the purpose of God is more clearly seen than in Joseph. God appeared to Abraham, and he appeared to Isaac, and he appeared to Jacob, but he never really appeared to Joseph. We have the appearance. But he had the direction of God in his life more clearly than any of the others. The verse, you may want to just jot this verse down in the introduction. The verse is Romans 8:28. And you know this is very familiar to you. It says, "And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them who are called according to his purpose." This is the story of Joseph. While it looked like it was bad what was going on, Joseph was always found out that he ended up where God had a purpose in even the bad things in his life. We're going to go verse by verse through chapter 39 today, because this is a very rich chapter and there's something in it for all of it. And you have your note cards there. We're going to see that, number one, Joseph was purchased by Potiphar. That was the guy's name. If you have your Bibles open, maybe good to follow along with you if you can. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. He was sold to some merchants, taken down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. And so this is Potiphar, who was the officer in Pharaoh's court. He buys this boy as his servant. Servanthood and slavery was a way, as much as we detest it, a way of life back then. And people were easily sold and bought. And so Joseph was sold to Potiphar, who's the guard in Pharaoh's court. Now, as Joseph was brought down, as he was bought, Joseph's dreams of grandeur, he was a dreamer, if you knew much about Joseph, but he had dreams of grandeur. Well, they were pretty much shattered. All of a sudden, you're 17 years old, your brothers have disowned you, they're going to tell your father that you've been eaten by the she-bears and never coming back, and then you're sold into slavery, you're taken down to Egypt, a foreign country, you're bought by Potiphar, a guard in Pharaoh's court, and now you're going to be his servant. There were three times that Moses stated that Joseph's master was an Egyptian. If you got your Bible open, verses 1 and verse 2 and verse 5, that his master was an Egyptian. How far has Joseph fallen from Israel? He is from his father being a favorite son to a designated heir to a lowly slave in the land of Egypt, far, far, far from the promised land. The second thing we see here is found in verse number 2. That Joseph was prospered by God. Even though he was sold into slavery, all things worked together for good. And I'm going to read along here. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Remember that earlier back in the Promised Land, God had given Joseph two dreams for his family. That the dream was this, that his family, this doesn't set well with brothers, the dream was that his family would bow down to him. That his family would bow. Joseph really believed that God had given him these two dreams and they were going to be a fulfillment, it was going to be certainty. So he was naive and he went and shared it with his brothers. So that's what set this thing off. You've got this dream that he spouts off about. You've got this coat of many colors that he wears around, you know, like he's somebody, and he was. And he was the favorite son of the father, and this sibling rivalry just ate them up. But the dream was that they were going to bow down to him. His brothers hated him for that. And so they sold him to the Midianites, who turned sold him to Potiphar in Egypt. But it says here that the Lord was with him, and he became very, very successful. Very successful. And he was in the house of the Egyptian master. Four times in this chapter, if you just want to jot this in, four times in this chapter right here, in verses 2, 3, 21, and 23, it says that the Lord was with Joseph. So in the midst down there, the Lord is with Joseph, although he was in slavery, the Lord was with him. And so even in the adversary, the Lord was with him. There was one commentator that I read this week. It said that although all human supports have failed and Joseph is far removed from the community of faith and the land of promise, God stays with him. God's presence, neither localized geographically nor dramatic or spectacular, but evidently his presence, the Lord's presence, was with him. God's presence is with Joseph. He became a successful man. All things work together for good. In fact, three times in this chapter, the word is used that Joseph is said to be successful or to succeed. In verses 2, 3, and 23. So this is a very unique chapter here, laying this thing out here, where this commentator said right at the onset, Moses informs us that Joseph was going to be successful, even in the midst of what's happening to him. Next thing that happened, Joseph was promoted by Potiphar. It's very unique that Joseph, every time something bad happens to him, something good happens to him. And so he was promoted by Potiphar. Very quickly, Joseph seems to win favor with these people. And so he's promoted by Potiphar in verses 3 through 6a. Joseph was promoted. It says, his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. Notice that this was an unbeliever that did this. It was an unbeliever who saw that the Lord was with Joseph. And so it was not surprising, as we read verse number 4 here. Verse number 4 said, so Joseph found favor in his sight and served him, and then he made him the overseer of the house and all that he had put under his authority. And so Joseph found favor, and he was put in charge of things. And then in verse 5 it says, that if you're following along with me. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of the house and all that he had, that the Lord, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. From the time that he made him overseer, the house of Potiphar really saw God's blessing on it because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on all of Potiphar had because of Joseph. And it was if Joseph had adapted, he didn't even know about Colossians 3:23. It says, whatever you do, work heartily to the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance for your reward. Well, he very well could have been a person that was a slave in Potiphar's house, that hated being there, hated the life he had, and made life miserable for Potiphar. But no, he didn't. He won favor with Potiphar, and Potiphar put him in charge of the household. Moreover, this passage is an initial fulfillment that was made to the promise of Abraham. Here, through Joseph, God's blessing flows to one family, and a Gentile family at that, Potiphar's house. It's not surprising to read this verse. It says, so Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. He trusted Joseph. Now, things are going to shift. You kind of know the story. He's won favor with Potiphar. He's won favor with the household. But then all of a sudden, things are going to shift. And we see here that Joseph is going to be tempted by Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife, verses 6b through 18. Thus he left all he had to Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form. He was a young guy, handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass that after these things, that the master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. Y'all know what that means? Okay. Cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in this house. And he has committed all that he has into my hands. There is no one greater in his house than I am. Nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do great wickedness and sin upon God? So as she spoke to Joseph day and day and day. That means she kept hounding him and hounding him and hounding him, kept going back. She wouldn't take no for an answer to lie with her. Verse 11, but it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men in the house were inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she spoke to all of the men. What a conniver. She spoke to all of the men of her house and said to them, see, he has brought into us a Hebrew. My husband has brought in us a Hebrew to mock us. He came to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. No. And it happened, when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So she kept this garment with her until her master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like this. The Hebrew servant which you brought into us, into this house, is brought in to mock me. So it happens I lifted my voice and cried out, that he ran and left his garment with me and fled outside. Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife. He was a good-looking guy. He was a young guy. Kind of brought the attention to Mrs. Potiphar, who cast her eyes upon Joseph and begged him to lie with her. This sexual promiscuity was a feature during the days of slavery and everything. And furthermore, given his current situation, it could have some benefit to him, but he didn't. In verses 8 through 9, but he refused and said to the master's wife, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything. In other words, he put everything in my hands. He trusts me. And so he's put everything into my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am. And so this is Joseph's only recorded speech in the chapter. This is the only recorded speech he has in this chapter, chapter 39. Basically, Joseph refused to sin against the trust that was given to him and against Potiphar, and more importantly, against God. This was a godly young man, Joseph was. And yes, the Potiphar had given him trust and respect, but he also was under the direction of God Yahweh. Joseph profoundly was aware that God was with him. And that is why one commentator said that the grand deterrent to Joseph's sinning was the awareness that God sees all, and that a sin that no one knows about, committed behind locked doors in a dark room, is actually done in the presence of Holy God. My wife wrote a book one time, Who Are You in the Dark? That a lot of people believe is if the lights are out and it's in the dark and no one's around, that you can still do whatever you want to. And the real judge of character is who you are in the dark when no one is looking. And this is what Joseph did. He spurned her request here. And this man Potiphar had been away for a long time. I'm not making excuses for her, but Potiphar had been away for a long time. Maybe he was away from the home too much. But the woman did tempt Joseph only one time, but many times, over and over again, the Bible says right here. It was a constant temptation to him. And there's an old saying, I know you've heard it. It says, hell hath no fury like that of a woman scorned. And this is what's happened here in the picture. Believe me, she's going to take revenge on Joseph. It's going to get back at him. But Mrs. Potiphar would not give up. Look at verse number 10 again. And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her to lie down beside her. She was hoping to wear him down, but he refused her every time. One day, however, Mrs. Potiphar ambushed him. And that's when she wanted him to lie with her. He refused to do it. He ran. She grabbed his cloak, and he ran off without it, but left the garment in her hand and fled to get out of the house. She was not only rebuffed, but she was probably angry. Here's where she was scorned. Remember, yeah.
This is what my Bible say. My Bible describes Joseph. So this woman would be like any other woman in today's society.
Yeah.
He was well built and handsome.
And handsome.
All is it? Two women. Well built and handsome.
There it is.
So that's
all it takes, huh?
That's all it takes. Yeah. You can't contain yourself during those times.
Well, Mark, Carol, she's planted in here for a reason.
Start speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
It'll take me to another world.
Oh, Lord.
Speaking Spanish would really throw me off.
Well, Potiphar comes home and he kind of believes what she's saying. Things weren't so well between Potiphar and his wife. Notice how she speaks of him in such a mean, degrading way. She says that he brought in a Hebrew to mock them. In other words, the wife probably had been guilty of this before. The man whom I feel most sorry for is Potiphar. He's the sap in there, if ever was one. Possibly he suspected something all along. So she's beginning to cover up her tracks. She's going to cover up her tracks here. The next thing is Joseph was imprisoned by Potiphar. So Potiphar comes back and hears the story. And understandably, as soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, he said, "This is the way your servant treated me?" And his anger was kindled, verse 19 says. We're in verse 19 and 20. The usual punishment for adultery in Egypt, as later in Israel, was the death penalty. Interesting, though, Potiphar, Joseph's master, took him and put him in prison. He didn't kill him. He put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison, verse number 20. Is it possible that Potiphar didn't really believe his wife? I don't know. Really believe his wife, but he had to do something, so he had Joseph put into prison. This boy is really having some bad luck. Sold into slavery by his brothers. And now he's in Egypt and in Potiphar's house, and he's winning, and then he's losing, and he's winning, and he's losing. And so in the midst of all that, we come to the next thing in verses number 21. is that Joseph was loved by God. In the midst of all this, God's presence was on Joseph. He was loved by God. God was all over him. And so but the Lord was with Joseph. God was at work in Joseph's life when he prospered in his father Jacob's house. And God was at work in Joseph's life when he was sold as a slave. And God was at work in Joseph's life when he prospered in Potiphar's house. And let me tell you again, God was still at work in Joseph's life when he was put into prison. God was with Joseph in both prosperity and adversity. The hand of God is obvious upon this young man. Joseph recognized this, and he gave him some buoyancy, an attitude, an optimism, that he wasn't discouraged, and the circumstances didn't get him down. Discouragement is just one of the finest weapons that Satan wants to discourage him. But more than God being with Joseph in prison, look at verses number 21. It says this, that God showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now he's under the care of the keeper of the prison. He won favor with Potiphar at Potiphar's house. He's thrown into prison, so the keeper of the prison, all of a sudden he wins favor with the keeper of the prison. And so what happens in verse number 22 and 23, next on your card, is Joseph is promoted by the prison keeper. He's promoted as a result of God's presence and steadfast love for Joseph. The keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners. It's just amazing what followed Joseph, this character in the Bible. About the time you think he ought to be down for the final count, God shows him favor because he has won favor with the people that he was put under. And he was successful. The story of Joseph today reveals that not only every man has his price, but Satan says that he does. But there have been several men whom Satan could not buy. He could not buy. Joseph was one of those. Job was another one. And the Apostle Paul was still another one. And Satan despises mankind, but these and many more are men whom Satan found he could not buy. The hand of God was obvious on Joseph's life, and how discouraged it would have been to the average person. But the interesting thing that happened is Joseph never got discouraged here. And although Joseph is naturally a very attractive young man and had a tremendous ability, yet the important thing to note is all of this would not have been anything, zero, had God not been with him. All these experiences are moving toward the accomplishing a purpose in Joseph's life. Joseph is a character that we're going to learn a whole lot from, and this is just one chapter in chapter 39 of Genesis, that Joseph... if you look at your note card, everything that was happening in Joseph in chapter 39, he couldn't do anything about. He was purchased by Potiphar. He was prospered by God. He was promoted by the Potiphar. He was tempted by Potiphar's wife. He was imprisoned by Potiphar. He was loved by God, and he was promoted by the prison keeper. And he never really said a word, a recorded word that we have in here, and except for what this little bit we have here. And yet Joseph was a man that really honored God. And later on, maybe there's going to be some other lessons about Joseph when he gets reacquainted back with his brothers. And you remember that famous line, that you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good in my life. And so Joseph is a man that we can learn a whole lot from. In this case, chapter 39, he was under the care of Potiphar. He was sold to Potiphar. He's under the care of Potiphar. But he showed himself strong. Let's pray.